It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're joined by two guests from the Tuolumne Utilities District, the largest water supplier for county residents in Tuolumne County. Our guests in studio this weekend are the general manager of TUD, Ed Pattison, and district engineer, Eric Johnson. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, BJ. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I'll pose my first question to the district general manager, Ed Pattison. You know, looking back at 2019, what would you say were some of the accomplishments for TUD?
BJ, you know, I was here a number of months ago, and we had an early discussion in my tenure. This has been my first complete year at the helm of managing Tuolumne Utilities District. It's been an exciting ride. There is a lot of work going on, and inherit a lot of the good planning and work that our staff is already embarking on. But some of the accomplishments in my first year that we really worked on was taking a fresh look at the organization in terms of its strategic planning, redefining the mission statement, which is really trying to provide high-quality service at a fair value for all of Tuolumne Utility District ratepayers, which is tough to do. But under that mission statement, we began really looking at and discussing the goals and priorities that we, our board, and the management team wanted to accomplish for 2019 and beyond. So we really focused on the first year, but we were looking out 5, 10, and 15 years strategically so that we have a trajectory that leads us toward better service, more efficiencies, and continual improvement. So that strategic plan was instrumental because it really led us into a robust discussion about the infrastructure and state of infrastructure in Tuolumne County, water security, and all the things that are important for Tuolumne Utilities District to provide great service to this region. So that capital improvement plan was updated with a 5-year moving window. And Eric Johnson to my right, the district engineer, can speak about the details of that. But that information, along with the strategic plan, really led into a comprehensive discussion about the budget. And that is the most important policy document for the board of directors in a public meeting to discuss priorities for the upcoming fiscal year. That's what guides staff on the day-to-day operations. So all that was done from January to about June 2019, and that really set the stage for us to be better prepared on our capital improvement planning. We enhanced discussions on water security. We can touch on that in a moment, and increasing supply and reliability. It also helped us to be better prepared for the unplanned, which was the PG&E power shutoff events, which was a huge impact up and down the West Slope, but especially Tuolumne County and TUD. Despite that being unplanned, had a few weeks to really become proactive and minimize the impact to our ratepayers. And we have good news on that. I think people are pretty happy with how that turned out. Unhappy about the power shutoff, but at least we minimized the impact of that. And then we really are focusing now on 2020 and furthering the work that was begun in that 2019 during my first year.
You know, those planned power shutoffs, what were some of the things that TUD had to deal with and accomplish?
Well, as you know, utilities often are the largest power users in any county because we have so many pumps and treatment plants and all types of motors that require electricity. So we formed a strategic team between management, operations, and field staff. So we grabbed staff from many departments. We looked at ways that we could employ our backup generators, and we don't have enough. We needed probably about 100 plus generators, and I think in our inventory we came up with about 50. We scrambled with a few rentals. We procured some funding to purchase others, and we developed a mobile network that we could ramp up and move on based on demand. And we were able to keep all the water storage tanks and water lift stations going so that they didn't spill wastewater into waterways of the state. And if my memory serves me correctly, we did not have any real significant problems. So that 2-3 week planning that our staff worked on in a very detailed way paid dividends for our community.
I'll add on to that because you asked about some of the challenges. And yes, we have a lot of demand for electricity to run pumps, motors, what have you. But actually, just to keep an eye on the status of tanks, if you have 80 tanks, you need to know, is a tank overflowing? Is a tank empty? And that all takes, power to operate radios and to keep track at the central office if we have a problem. And we don't have enough staff to have eyes on every tank or every sewer lift station. So we rely on the power to operate the radios and the telecommunications that give us those features. And that was a real challenge because if you have one site go down and all of a sudden that site serves 6 or 7 tanks, you really need to have a physical presence at those locations to make sure, you know, your tank isn't empty before your customers call and you have a health issue. So that was one of the big challenges, and that's not a big power demand, but the sheer magnitude of TUD's infrastructure requires us to have a lot of telecommunications abilities and staff ready to respond throughout the whole PSPS, even if it's only a day or two.
Yeah, it's all based on electricity. If we don't have it, we got to generate it one way or the other. And if we don't have the generators, it goes from an automated alarm telecommunication system to we have to have eyes on each of those facilities, and it's just manual labor intensive.
Well, next thing I want to ask you about is Phoenix Lake. That's been something that we've talked about on the show in past years. It's something that's been kind of going through the process. So Eric Johnson is district engineer. What can you tell us about where that project stands right now?
It pains me to come back here and speak about the project and not about the project being done, but about the project still yet to be constructed. However, I do have some positive developments to report. We, over the course of the last year, were actively pursuing the final permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers that would allow us to release this for bid and proceed with construction. And we just recently, and literally in the last few weeks, have assurances that we will have that permit in hand with enough time to initiate construction this upcoming summer. And, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with the project, it's been around a long time. I mean, originally in 2004, a citizen Phoenix Lake Task Force citizen group formed with the purpose of looking at ways to improve the lake's water quality and enhance the habitat. And that morphed into a whole series of events, including a grant to do the construction. And so it's really been a 15-year process to get to where we are now. We will be holding some public meetings to inform specifically homeowners around the lake as we get a contractor on board to do the work this summer. There will obviously be impacts. There will be noise and visual impacts, but it's short-term impact. We believe it's going to be well worth the future health of the lake because we intend to trap sediment and reroute water that will allow for us to maintain the lake in a healthy state versus allowing some of the sediment to come in and then having to initiate a full-fledged wholesale dredging project every 10, 15 years, which historically is what has happened. The lake's been dredged several times in the past, but never in a manner that would trap sediment in one localized area and allow us to remove it in an organized, fashion on like a 3-4 year interval. And the regulations are becoming more and more stringent, so it's more and more difficult to implement a project like this. We're just happy that finally we're going to have some positive news to report, and the homeowners around the lake will see some tangible results.
Yeah, the delays have been completely regulatory driven, and it's not been TUD. TUD's been at that table trying to get this done year after year after year. It's just been we've been responding to new and ever-increasing, more onerous regulations. That's what's delayed this for as many years as it has been.
What have been kind of those final sticking points to get over the finish line to get started?
Well, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has federal jurisdiction over waterways of the state and any kind of construction in waterways, including lakes, and they look at habitat and wetlands, and so those regulations are very intensive. They're very detail-oriented, and there was a lot of discussion surrounding what was a human-made wetland versus a natural wetland and what type of mitigation measures are necessary. So it took a lot of time and interaction between Tuolumne Utility District staff and the Army Corps of Engineers in Sacramento to come up with a plan that everyone could agree to that allows the Corps to issue what's called a 404 permit, which is what Eric stated is our last permit. That allows us to basically button up the project, finalize design, and get it out to bid for construction. We're hoping to move expeditiously with that so we can see this done in 2020.
And this project, is it primarily all grant-funded or will be some district funds as well?
Significantly grant, state grant-funded. I think it's about $4 or $5 million grant-funded and about $1.5 million TUD capital improvement funds.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking water issues on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by a pair of leaders with the Tuolumne Utilities District, the general manager Ed Pattison and district engineer Eric Johnson. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.